up. Hello, friends. We've got Sunshine and Pine Sap coming at you from the treehouse once again, where we are all squished up here, and it is a good sacred summer for episode 12.
Woo! Mm, woohoo! Wow. I am currently trying to open the champagne, which I think it's happening.
Woo-hoo! That's a good sound.
It is a great sound.
And partnering champagne with a little bit of Pog, passion orange guava. That
yes.
sounds good.
Delicious. This is Wilson Creek orange mimosa champagne.
Ooh.
It's perfect yep. for today. And we've got...
We have snacks.
Treats.
Yay. Treats and glasses.
In the basket.
The magic basket.
Ooh.
I thought, you know, I bought like all really loud, crunchy things.
Yeah, it's great in my
perfect
ears.
Perfect.
Friends, yes. all you listeners out there, I hope you have snacks for this episode.
Pretzel
because this
chips?
Is a snack-heavy moment.
And
you guys knew how much I love smell.
Oh, jelly bellies.
Sour jelly bellies.
Yay.
It was a random morning. It was basically everything that sounded good to me at 9 o'clock this morning.
So good, so, right? Yeah. Pre-breakfast.
Pre-breakfast, that's
so
right.
Snacks are always good. So I'm Ryan. We're so thankful that you're joining us. That's Dawn with the champagne and the snacks.
I'm Cody, and we're here with Gally Fisher.
Greetings.
And some of you may have had the pleasure of meeting Gally at some of our uncommon events. She not only brings the music and the sounds and the joy, but wise words as well. And we've had Gally join us on creating cool places in this community.
Yeah,
so Gally, we're so stoked to have you.
Thank you. I'm so happy to be here. I was just on the podcast that Jen Vermillion is creating called Made to Create.
Yeah, my wifey, that's coming out soon.
Just creativity abundant. Everywhere.
Yeah.
Very cool.
That was a really cool conversation. I got to sit in and be a fly on the wall.
Here you go, Gally. It might be a little champagne heavy.
Yeah, I was like, holy cow. We have to make four of them out of that bottle.
Oh, okay.
Three part champagne.
Yeah.
One part.
Whoa.
You didn't pour this one.
Very good.
Today, we just wanted to hang out with you and talk to you and get your thoughts on some things. Wait, did we already talk about how we know you?
No, you're going to ask that.
Yeah.
Well, I was asking,
welcome to the very beginning of the podcast, Cody.
There we go.
Well, I was asking you about that, because how did we get connected? Such a strange, small world.
It was kind of a weird weird connection. Mm. Your bandmate, Gabe, in the Digital Lizards of Doom.
The Digital Lizards of Doom.
I was friends with him. It's kind of like that moment in Spaceballs when Lord Helmet tells, "I am your father's brother's cousin's former roommate." So I won't get into like how I know Gabe. It's from he's a family member of a friend, and I'd just been following his music and following his social media, and then one day you were featured in a lot of his photos. You were featured on Digital Lizards of Doom.
Out of nowhere, huh?
I'm like, who's this? And so I went and explored your music as well. And
he shared it with all of us. And I was like, yes, this is such goodness.
And somehow or another, we got, you followed Uncommon Good or saw Uncommon Good or
I did.
I was
gravitating towards the energy of what you guys were creating.
Yeah, honestly, like in that whole Instagram web
whole IG
of
mess.
Fun.
And now you're in a treehouse with
and
pretzels.
And now I'm in a treehouse with
passion
mimosas.
Orange guava mimosas.
Of pretzels, how beautiful life is.
I'm gonna take this moment to make a lot of noise.
Heck yeah.
We'll be the first to add the crunch too.
Mm-hmm.
Gluten-free pretzels.
They're pretty good, huh?
Mm-hmm.
So, I think the best place to start is to just hear your story.
My story.
Yeah. Tell
which
us about
Gally. Which is always interesting when I'm asked that, because how do you even begin? There's so many things experienced in a lifetime, and the more and more I tell this elusive story, I go, how do you convey so much of what's happened and all the different changes over the years? It's kind of an exhausting concept. But, well, as most musicians, I've been doing music for my entire life. I think if you speak music, you speak it from the moment that you were born, if that's a gift that God has given you. And I have. I've done many different projects over the years, and it's evolved from little folk duos. Actually, started playing on the worship team at my old church back in the day.
That's right.
I'd done the rounds. I've probably been to over 10 to 15 churches in my life.
Have you been all California? Or is that context all California?
No, Southern California.
Okay.
I've traveled up.
Because it's a separate thing.
Yeah.
SoCal.
SoCal. I've traveled, you know, up the coast and gone to Oregon and Washington, but spent most of my life in Southern California. So done the church rounds. And when I was 14, 15, 16, 17, I led on the worship team. And then I graduated to the big kids church and led the congregation and kind of got my feel for playing piano and bringing the energy of music to a larger audience there. Very thankful for those formative years. And then from that church, I started this folk duo called Partners in Rhyme. We called ourselves Partners in Rhyme until we got a cease and desist from a hip-hop duo in Indiana.
Oh, that is awesome.
There's a couple of white boys, and they were like, hey, you can't use our name. And
like so an official legal letter?
No. But they were very assertive.
Got it.
They wanted that name. So we changed our name to Novel Concept, and that's really where I got started learning multiple instruments. We both played banjo, piano, mandolin, melodica, guitar. We would switch instruments on stage, and I kind of got experimental in my performing and my songwriting and learned a lot. And then he got married and moved to Oregon, so it kind of came to its natural end, which mm-hmm. was a little sad because we really had a good thing going. We recorded a full-length album. I'm very proud of the music that we created, but I learned a lot, and it ran its course.
And that band broke up. That was the end.
Yeah.
Not a novel concept.
Not a novel.
The musical one. See what I did there?
Right. <Yeah. laughs> Not very novel. And then in my 20s, I flew solo for a while, which I'll be honest, didn't really like it at first. Didn't really like being up there. There's something about sharing that music experience with somebody else. I admire solo performers a great deal. I still do my own form of solo performing, but I missed it.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, let go of music more than once in my 20s. Because when you work with something creative like that, it's matters of the heart. And it will push you and pull you and stress you out and depress you. And gosh, so there were probably a few years in my 20s where I didn't touch any instruments at all. And I thought, I won't. I won't do it anymore. I can't handle it. So quit, came back. And then recently, as you guys know, God had other plans. Brought it back into my life in this visceral and unimaginable way where you talk to people and you go, would you ever have expected that blah, blah, blah would happen? And they go, no. I had no idea. And I didn't. No eye has seen, no ear has heard. So recently, I have been writing with artists all over the world. I got into the electronic music scene, and that's a story in and of itself.
Yes!
More folk music and folktronic on my own. I've done hip-hop now, metal, and then Digital Lizards of Doom, which is kind of this electro-folk Gorillaz meets Daft Punk type project, which is the most exciting venture I've ever been a part of.
Oh, and, please. And listeners, when you hear this, like, go and check out Digital Lizards of Doom.
Digital Lizards of Doom. There is so much going on right now.
Well, and tell us about the name. Like, where did you land on that?
I'll first say that the entire brand and franchise was created by my bandmate, Gabe. This is his baby. He has been working on this arduously for years.
Okay.
One of the coolest, most wonderful human beings I've ever met in my life. A lot
truly.
Of respect for him. Yeah, he's just
truly
good people
a good guy.
Through and through. So this is something that he's been working on since his childhood. It's a whole universe. It's his brain basically pulled out and put into something that anyone on the whole wide world can become a part of because it's just a giant love letter to all things nerdy. It's just
so
it's just a giant nerd group. We call our fans our family, and it's all about fun and keeping that inner child, you know, the mm-hmm. one that we all try to stay in touch with until the day we die, alive and mm-hmm. well, and your imagination and your creativity thriving. So,
mm-hmm. and you guys are kind of nurturing like almost like a Comic-Con type community.
Come one,
right?
Come all,
love.
As you are, mm-hmm. Very inclusive. There's no room for exclusivity, personally, I think, in any area of the world. So when I met Gabe, which was at a comic book shop, by the way, it's the most hilarious thing. I was buying a Green Lantern pin, and I walked out. He was behind the cash register, and I handed it to him. And as if something super freaky happened, he looked at me, and he tilted his head, and he goes, are you a musician? I said, yes. And we started talking. And then he introduced me to Matt at Noise Cartel. And we kind of lived our own lives for a year after that, actually. After we met, I was still doing my own thing and establishing myself as a songwriter and a producer. And got signed to Noise Cartel. And then a year later, because he had had me done a few vocals, quite a few vocals, I'll add, quite a few vocals on his album, which is now Lizards and Labyrinths. And then after one show, we're packing stuff up, and he looks and he goes, do you want to join the band? And I said, and I said yes, immediately. There was something within that just went, yes, like, gladly. I just knew. Mm-hmm. And then the rest of the year has just been ridiculous. There's been so much stuff that's happened that I can't even believe it.
Tell us some of those things.
Well,
some of it's pretty exciting.
It is very exciting. It still almost doesn't feel real a year later. Oh, my gosh.
Take a sip of mimosa. Mm. Would anybody like some sour jelly beans at this moment?
I'll have some in a moment. So, this past year. Okay, well, the bullet point list is touring, releasing a full-length album, being featured in Forbes magazine, releasing multiple music videos, developing and finalizing a graphic novel centered around the brand and the franchise and the universe, playing the NAMM show up in L.A., me being on a panel at the NAMM show in L.A.
Wait, tell us, what is the NAMM show in L.A.?
Oh, of course. The NAMM show is the National Association for Music Merchants. So essentially, I think it's one of the biggest music conferences in the whole wide world.
Wow.
It's at the Anaheim Convention Center, over 100,000 people. It just keeps growing and growing.
Crazy.
Because it's basically anyone in the music industry, from Yamaha to sound technician equipment and stuff. It's a trade show, so people go there to buy.
Okay.
But they also have performers. I'm talking like Stevie Wonder to big rock band, like,
you know,
everyone.
No big deal.
Yes,
it's
multiple
really cool.
Stages, all of the hotels, the Hilton and the Marriott around the area. It's absolutely gigantic.
And I met Switchfoot there one time.
You did,
really
of
cool.
course. Oh, and you can meet anybody at the NAMM show. And so when I sent in the application, knowing what D-Lod had done in the months prior, I gotta tell you, I just had like a gut feeling. And this is really hard to get into the NAMM show. Many, many bands and artists have been trying for years. And how they say yes, and there's a lot behind the scenes.
Sure,
as far as who
sure.
they bring in. So I sent in the application. Less than a month later, they said yes, and they gave us a midnight slot at the Hilton stage.
Crazy.
Which was mind-blowing. So yes, over the past year, we've been working like crazy and met some of the most amazing people. We've done so far shows and...
Oh, yeah, that was really cool.
Met. It's just incredible. It's just almost
so
inexplicable.
Cool.
So, and a graphic novel is almost done and right around the corner to be released.
Oh, amazing. That's so exciting.
It gives me great joy. And it's also been kind of mind-blowing because you never expect. You kind of just have to breathe and go forward and trust and surrender and then say yes to whatever you can.
Mm-hmm.
And people often ask me, like on that panel I was, success secrets for independent artists. What is the rule for success? How do you get there? What do you do? And I used to be one of those people who wanted the
secret sauce.
Yeah, yeah. I wanted the answers immediately.
XYZ
give me the secret formula. Yeah, it doesn't exist. It doesn't. No
Isn't
one wants
it
to hear
almost
that.
Like you don't give up.
Yeah,
you don't
perseverance.
Stop.
That's such
you
a good
stop.
Way of putting it.
Right. And I was reading, you know, like random inspirational things come across Instagram every once in a while. And this morning, one of the ones I read was like, if you're not opposed to the unsexy work, that's a benefit to you.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
you got to keep
slogging works in your
for
favor.
It. The only way you'll quote unquote fail is if you stop.
Right.
Is if you stop trying.
Yeah.
But I'm telling you, that took years of, it's been a long road, you guys. It's been a very long road, and
we know what long roads feel like.
That kind of perseverance comes from deep within.
Well, plus when you have a vision for where you're going, there's something in you that's like, I see it.
Mm-hmm.
Why can't I be there tomorrow?
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yes.
Patience. And unfortunately, like the winding road is always windier and longer than you anticipate.
Than you ever expect.
So,
yes.
You know, here we are. 2 years into this journey, we thought like, man, 6 months, we're going to have a spot. We're going to have like, we're going to
totally
be meeting
right.
there. We're going to be awesome things. And we have been doing awesome things, but I will tell you, it doesn't look like what we thought it was going to look
Never
like,
does.
You know, 2 years ago.
Yeah, yeah, yeah,
But we just keep going.
Right. You have these shinier moments than you ever expected, and yet duller moments than you ever wanted.
Yes. That's
right.
On the same exact journey to a better tomorrow, right?
And you know what I found is that hovering in that trustful place where it's not all or one or the other. It's not, because I'm a very extreme person, and for the first, 25 years of my life, it was all successful or all failures. Until recently, I'd say within the past year, I've learned that balance where you comprehend the process and you just kind of trust that's what's going to get you through it. I keep using the word surrender because that's what it is. It's all of the moments in between are the journey. That's where all the moments happen.
And there's some, like, perseverance and hard work start to look a lot like talent at some point. You know?
Yes.
We used to tell Jonah that, like, when he was playing baseball, and he was, like, mediocre at best. And it's like, if you just, like, keep showing up and keep putting in the work, at some point it starts to look like you know what you're doing.
Yeah.
I feel like that's such life lesson right there, you know?
Uh-huh. And you get those little doses of hope, which is a very powerful emotion.
Right.
One of the most powerful, I think, and that can keep you going.
So in this journey, here's what I'm excited to go to. There's a spiritual thing going on in you in the last year, and that's actually what, like, dropped you into our place.
Yes.
we're like, Cody shows up to a meeting. You guys, I have this connection with Gally from Digital Lizards of Doom, and this, like, is her music, and we listen to your solo
the
stuff too, and we're like, oh my gosh, please just have her come join us at this event.
Yeah,
not only did you didn't just join us at the event, you just didn't come in a company.
Mm-hmm.
All of a sudden, your presence, your music, you doing all your fun solo stuff, and then pausing and talking in between and sharing about where you're at with God and how God dropped you into this place now, and you talked about a magnetic pull kind of with what we're doing, what we're about. It's because there's a cool spiritual story in you that has connected you with us right now up in a tree.
Yes.
So what's going on with you in that?
I'm so happy that you asked me that, because in the past year, one of my biggest questions, I suppose, one of my biggest excitement and also anxiety about moving forward, and really, really the point of why I'm doing everything I'm doing and why I think every person does what they do. What is your message? What's the message, okay? And this is a life lesson. This is something that God is teaching you from the moment that you're born to the moment that you pass. This past year has been the most, the biggest learning curve, the most vertical learning curve, and the most humbling and the most challenging. I'm talking moments that truly transform you, because you can tell the difference between people who talk about being changed and people who are actually changed. It's very visceral. It's very real. You don't need to put words around it even sometimes. Basically, in March of last year, began a permanent change to the way that I view existence and the way that I view the nature of God and how God is communicating with us.
So all really, like low bar concepts.
Yeah. Exactly. Trivial stuff.
A total transformation of existence.
Oh, man. So, okay. Well, it's a big thing, because true change takes a little bit of dying. Takes a little bit of...
Which is the worst truth I know.
The worst truth.
Mm-hmm. That life comes
from March of 2018, randomly, I know it wasn't random, of course, but to me it felt random. I went through a bout of insomnia that I'm speaking metaphorically, but not so much metaphorically, almost killed me.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if any of you guys have struggled with insomnia, but one day I just stopped sleeping. And I've had a very volatile relationship with God, much like Peter and all the people who really, really wrestle. Because the people who really wrestle, they experience all the highs and the deepest lows. And last year, I didn't understand. And this is 1 month before DLOD became a thing. This is one month before I joined Digital Lizards of Doom and all this stuff happened. So hindsight, looking back, all this heart preparation. And during that month, I was confronted with a new sense of identity, which is almost like a lack of identity. I know I'm going to go on a lot of different wild concepts, but if you can track with me, because my sense of self has changed to who I am within God, because those can never be separated. I told you I grew up in the church. Denominations and nitpicking and words this and that and all of this separation and disinclusion and stuff that for my entire life never sat well in my chest, in my spirit, in my soul. I was looking at the churches going, there is something amiss. This doesn't feel right. Even to the point where my parents and I would disagree on things because they're very fundamental. They have an interestingly small, I'm going to say in the kindest of ways, an interestingly small perception of God, which a lot of churches do. They tend to want to put something that is fascinating and enigmatic and can never be comprehended by us into their own, and that's what human beings are always trying to do, right? We're trying to describe it, and that's fine, and we do the best we can, but at a certain point you have to let go and surrender to the mystery with a capital M.
Mm-hmm.
So I've had a very volatile relationship with God in my 20s, that dark age where I didn't touch music at all. I also didn't communicate with God. There was no contemplation. There was no prayer. I had been through so much in my early 20s that had led me to become hopeless.
Mm-hmm.
And so there was no dialogue there.
Can I ask, in that period of darkness, was there... did you question the existence of God, or was there just a silence?
Well, I think deeply, something deep within, because we can never be separated again unless you say no to the relationship. There was always something in me that continued believing, and that's what hurt the most, is because I couldn't reconcile that with the pain that I was going through, which most people do. Of course. You experience pain and heartbreak, and then the first thing you do is go, why? And you look above to the sky and
shake your fist.
Yeah, of course. So,
which also at the same time reveals still a lingering belief that there is something in the sky to
shake your fist at.
Why do you think that we wrestle with these things? And so even though I said no to the relationship, and the whole metaphor of you're walking on the beach and the footprints there, you only saw one set because he was carrying you. There's a much, much truth to that. Much, much truth. So this bout of insomnia, killed me, but in the best way possible. It killed the version of me that I thought I was and allowed the true self, which I've been really on a Richard Rohr kick lately, and I don't know how familiar you guys are with his writings, but I've read 4 of his books now, and I don't want to get into that yet because that's right around the corner. That's 6 months later. The bout of insomnia brought me to my knees literally and figuratively, to the ground even, literally and figuratively, with... doing what nobody wants to do, and that's look at yourself and die to yourself and be reborn into something that you don't know but you trust, and that is the glorified you, the Christ within, the Christ that lives within you and is capable of loving anywhere at any time regardless of the circumstances, the ideal, the heaven on earth. I didn't know it at the time, though.
Wow.
So... after, because I took myself to the hospital, it was that bad. I haven't been to the hospital in 5 years. I'm a tough woman. But I took myself to the hospital and didn't ever hallucinate, but was definitely weakened. And then a month later, I started rehearsing with Digital Wizards of Doom and started sleeping. And it wasn't a miraculous thing. It wasn't like I just started sleeping perfectly one day because blah, blah, blah. We're always looking for those miraculous moments, but it's a little more nuanced than that. After that, it became a daily lesson in dialogue and trust. It became a journey rather than a destination. It became, oh, okay. And my whole reality changed. And then in the summer, I read my first Richard Rohr book, which was called Immortal Diamond. And it was everything I had ever believed somehow without the jargon, the Christianese, that I had learned my whole life. It stripped all of that away. It put the raw truth, the big truth, capital B, capital T, of the Universal Christ, which is one of his books I still haven't read yet, and I can't wait. And this was on tour. In July, Digital Lizards of Doom, our first tour, we went up the coast and back down, and the things that we experienced on that tour was pure euphoria, at least for me, because I watched the Spirit of God go from place to place, and it surpassed all boundaries, and it surpassed any insecurities, and nothing got in the way. I just saw love being shared everywhere that we went, and it was powerful, and it made me quiet in my soul, because this was different and real. And so, then I started gobbling up his books. Then I started gobbling up his books because it blew the lid off of everything. And I'll tell you, it is the single most lonely and least lonely place I've ever been in my life. Mm. Because it is truly a relationship and an experience you can only have with yourself. Because I then suggested the book to other people. I said, you got to read this. It'll change your life. It'll change your life. Like you do when you first discover the fire of being a Christian, mm-hmm. and you want to share it all with everybody. And it didn't work out so well. Mm. So it took me even deeper and even farther. And then, you know, I digress. There were a lot of other things that happened after that that have deepened my relationship in ways that scare me and terrify me, but also is kind of the answer to existence, in a sense. And I'll probably spend the rest of my life, not probably, will definitely spend the rest of my life learning how to be a human, how to be a God blob, how to be why he'd created the whole thing, which is relationship with a capital R, because I'm a very solitary creature. So learning that moments like this, sitting in a treehouse with people, is why we're alive. This is why we're here, to be friends, to nurture, to love, to coexist, to share the love of God, which is the nature of God, and which is why that kind of Christianity I was talking about earlier needs to kind of fizzle out. Because mm-hmm. people are exhausted by all the rules yeah. and all of the this, and that. It's really not that complicated. God is love. That's not mm-hmm. complicated. Right. Love can be shared. If you love yourself and you're at one with who you are in your existence, suddenly you can do it for everybody around you. Mm-hmm. You know? So anyways.
Gally, I'm just going to need you to pick up that mic and drop it.
Just drop it. Okay. Dropped.
I've also heard recently, I've been on a somewhat similar, a parallel journey in some ways, that wherever in religion or in life that you're not experiencing freedom, and that's not just the freedom to do whatever you want, but the sense of freedom, it's probably not gospel. Like, it's probably not God,
yes.
right? Because yes. God is all about freedom. The gospel is about the captives being set free. Mm. It's about experiencing Amen. That freedom that God has to offer. And so wherever it is in our churches, in our homes, in our own life, in our background, and the things that we hold over our own heads, that's not producing freedom.
Yes.
It's probably not God.
Yeah, of course.
However, so much of what has been shoved at us in God cloak doesn't feel like freedom. And so it's kind of that tearing away, that peeling away of those things that have not set us free.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So one of the things we've been talking about recently, and I'd love to get your take on it, is how sometimes in our culture, in our lives, we see certain things as spiritual and sacred, and then there's everything else. And so I heard you touch on this a little bit, but I would love to hear you talk about where have you been surprised to find the spirit show up, or where have you been surprised when suddenly you're like, oh my gosh, I'm in a sacred moment right now, but I'm not at church or I'm not singing worship music, right? This shouldn't quote unquote be spiritual, but it definitely feels sacred.
Yes.
You know?
Yes, 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 yes.
So can you talk about that a little
bit?
Yes,
I can. Yes. The answer to that is relatively easy for me now.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's everywhere. not pantheism in the sense that it's hard to explain. Is God in this tree right now? Well, is yes, and also no, because human beings are different than trees and animals. Okay, I loved this because I heard this recently. Jacob, to wrestle with God. We're different because we wrestle, because we ask these questions, right. Because there's something different. There's something that allows us to feel all the emotions that God feels, from love to jealousy, righteous anger, all this kind of stuff. Sacred spaces and spiritual places is now ubiquitous to me. Because, I'll use an example from recently. Because I have more spiritual, quote-unquote, spiritual conversations with in the moments in between and where you least expect it. Most of the Christians that I have known for the majority of my life get themselves in the way, and they put themselves and their mind what, oh, maybe I didn't say the right thing, or how can I show them the...
I don't know all the answers.
I don't have all the answers. Right. It's exhausting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because it's putting you in the driver's seat. You silly. Mm-hmm. You know who's in the driver's seat. You just need to participate in something that Richard Rohr calls uninhibited flow. And that's what's happening right here. It's what happens when you see when you see a child playing with a dog. It's what happens when you see a yes to the relationship everywhere. So where do I see God? Absolutely everywhere. Where do I find sacred places? Absolutely everywhere. It's like I told you, my reality has changed. My even comprehension of time and space, I guess you could say, if you'd let me wax existential a little bit, because that's where I've been living, is that the experience of being human is both beautifully 100% human and 100% God at the same time. And if many, many more people understood that they were divine beings who always have that in them, you can never be separated from God. It is impossible. The only thing that happens is that you say no, is that you live devoid of the Spirit because you don't trust, you don't communicate, you don't dialogue. So even putting a label on it now, I find, what's the word for not enough?
Inadequate,
thank you. So music, for example. Music, how can you hear something like music and not know that that is something divine that's happening? That if you go and you sit and you enjoy someone channeling that divine presence, it's there. It's there, it's everywhere. And then even just having, oh, yes, I was talking about that example of, so I spoke with someone recently who is interesting. I haven't talked with someone like this in a long time. Don't believe, they're atheist. They don't believe in morality, even.
No.
They don't believe that human beings have souls or that we're different from it. All of the, we talked for 3.5 hours. I love that. I love getting into conversations with people who believe anything, you know, because there's anything that we can talk about as long as they say yes and keep talking, as long as their heart is kind of open to the dialogue. And we walked and talked and we walked and talked. And the gospel, capital G, was shared, even though I never officially said any buzzwords like, I'm a Christian, or this and this and that. We talked about God, talked about the nature of God. God is not some demanding dictator that the Old Testament, oh, he told people to slaughter one another. That means that you haven't looked into it quite nearly enough.
Mm-hmm.
It means you haven't taken it seriously enough, that you're not there, that you're not at the place where you're dying to yourself yet, because hardly anybody wants to. So you can go your whole life and be 60, 70, 80 years old, even on your deathbed, and not understand who you really are and what your value is within the Lord. So we managed to have a 3.5 hour conversation where at the end of it, I felt in the best way possible, like you do after a soccer game or something, spiritually expended, because I knew that the whispers of God had been there in that conversation and that he had left with that, even if I didn't have to say anything, or because it was just love. It was, you can be you and I can be me in this relationship. It's all good.
That's right.
Yes. That's my answer.
I love it.
Do you know, I think one of the, you know, the beginning of Genesis says we're created in God's image, and he just breathed into humanity something that was different than all the rest of creation, which was his image, right? The fingerprint of God on us. And I think there's a beautiful picture in that love allows the other to stand opposed and still listen. And I think some of the greatest ways that we can love others is to listen to their journey. And when they stand opposed and look for a combatant phrase,
yes.
We go, wow, I get that. I see that.
Yeah.
And then we trust that God communicates love through that listening, not through the immediate trying to transform or change people with doctrine.
With doctrine. That's a good way of putting it.
Awesome. We could seriously just sit and talk with you forever. But we got to wrap up this episode. We can keep hanging out and talking afterwards. But thank you so much for being here and for sharing your wisdom, sharing your journey. It, like, so much of what you just said is a lot of the same journey that we're on as Uncommon Good and as individuals. And so it's so good to hear your perspectives. Real quick, before we wrap up, where can people find you? What What do you want to leave people with?
Yes.
Find your stuff, find Digital Lizard of Doom.
The great interwebs, on the masters of the universe. But yes, if you type in Google Digital Lizards of Doom, lizards like L, not wizards like Harry Potter, everything shows up. Our YouTube, our website, it's not hard to find us now. And as far as me, I'm becoming less hard to find because of the people that I've been working with lately, and there's a lot of releases slotted for the next year. Oh, that's a whole nother ball of wax. But Gallie Fisher is GalLieFisher, and you can find my music on Spotify and iTunes and YouTube and all that stuff.
And Amazon Music.
Yeah. And every platform you can think of. So that's how you can find us. Digital Lizards of Doom has a lot of stuff going on, so I would say go there for sure first.
And you guys are doing, right, you and D-Lot are doing a lot of stuff on Instagram too. So
Instagram is probably the platform that we use the most. Yeah. I think it's the most user-friendly right now.
I like it.
Yeah. Better than the other stuff. So, yeah, that's it.
Thank you so much. You're such a blessing to us.
Thank you for having me. It's been really wonderful.
You guys want to say anything else before we cut out?
We just like you. You're awesome. Thanks for just joining us in
a
sacred space in a tree, creating sacred spaces in concert venues, joining us at uncommon events, and just bringing
music that communicates the soul. I love it.
We're stoked.
Yeah, so thank you all for listening, tuning in to episode 12 of the Uncommon Cast, and we'll catch you later. Peace.